What can I give to you out of what I have in God? No strings, no manipulation. In a relationship, folks, if you really get rid of lust and greed, and not coping mechanisms, and how do I not, you know, get her screaming and yelling, that's all manipulation and control. That's the spirit of stupor, when you put up with stupid and act like it's okay. God doesn't say feed the devils and make their house stronger. And we can get all that. We got lots of teaching and all this stuff. But the bottom line is, when I'm complete in Christ, when he's all that I need, I can parent my children from that overflow. That's the fruit of something real in God, okay? So greed, give me heart. Oh, look at this. Look at this about greed. Think of it. Think of it. Greed, this was a thing that Satan had in my heart. How could I take care of myself? How could I have money to meet my needs? How could I have money to take care of the ministry? How could I use people to have more time to minister? How could I? How could I? How could I? It's self-preservation instead of self-denial. And it will constantly keep you under the curse. You'll constantly be trying to take care of things. You'll constantly be embracing doctrine to try to do that, spiritualize it, and you just make a big mess. So we got a lot of greed going on over here in Satan's little building that he's getting in. But first, let's talk about how Satan gets in. All right, we talked about how Jesus, the Lord comes in and he woos you, and he begins to say, look, you owe everything to Christ. You're in debt to him. You owe everything to him. You know, everything. But Jesus died. You hear the gospel? Jesus died to pay for that sin. He died to claim your soul. He paid the price. And you're like, wow. Oh, God. I'm talking about real salvation. Not, oh, this is great. Get me out of my problems. I'm talking about, he did that for me. I really deserve to go to hell. I'm really that wicked. I really can see these things. And he did that for me. All of a sudden, there's a real salvation experience. God, I give you myself. I surrender to you. Satan, we saw earlier in those scriptures, he compromises. Oh, come on. I'll get you out of this mess. Just, you know, I know that it really hurt when this thing happened, but if you will just let me in. You know, let's lie about this. You'll never get fired if you just lie about this. You know, what's it going to hurt? It's, you know, you need to do this. And you're like, oh, I guess I have to lie in this case. Boom, he's in there. He's building. Look at some of the houses he's built. I mean, like we said, some of you've got mansions on the Riviera. And the little house for the kingdom of God looks like something on Skid Row. Where your treasure is, so is your heart. All right, so we can see here, and this is one of the part of tearing down the house. You need to begin to think of, and we get to it all today. Where did you negotiate with the enemy? Any coping mechanism. Drinking's negotiating. Alcohol's negotiating. Rebellion's negotiating. Anything besides repentance and turning it over to God is a negotiation. Anything. Oh boy. No wonder he got in. When you hate it, and he said, it's okay to hate him. One day, you'll get him back. Boop, he owns you. Boop, he just had a heyday. Oh, we could take forever to say all the different things he's negotiated. That's why I said he did it one by one by one. Once he got in, he started building. All right. Now, let's look at how it works in the Holy Spirit. Let's say you find Christ, you really repent, and you surrender. All right, let's do this. You repent and you surrender. Self. Self is who you are. It's all your personality traits. It's your emotions. It's who you are. It doesn't say you become a zombie. It says you take who you are and you say, God, thank you for who I am. Thank you for all that you've given me. But God, I give it to you. I give myself to you. You gave yourself for me. I give myself for you. Bible says, if you try to hang on to self, you'll lose self. But if you surrender self, you'll gain self. All right, let's look at this now. Satan knows, oh my goodness, God has to get them to give self to him. Then he joins with them. they have union. And now we got their personality, their attributes, their gifting, everything about them now empowered by God to glorify him. I don't like this. The enemy doesn't like this. So he goes, what if we make them hate themselves? You know, there's a scripture that says no man hates himself. Well, God can't lie. Satan's deceived you into thinking you hate yourself. You can't really hate yourself. You were not created in the likeness of God with the ability to hate yourself. What Satan has done is he's totally perverted who you think you are so that you can hate who he's made you to become. Did you get what I'm saying? You can't really hate who you are. Who you really are is in the likeness of God. If you really knew who you were, you would think, wow, I'm pretty cool. I'm pretty good. Wow, look at the gifts he's given me. Look at the talents he's given me. Look at the things he's given me. If you weren't comparing yourself one to another, if you were just completely content in a little bubble to see how awesome God made you and wonderfully made you were and all these things he's given you, you would love yourself. You would love yourself. And then the part would be to lay down that self and give it back to God and say, I don't want to be in charge of myself. I don't want to make decisions. I don't want to eat of the knowledge of good and evil. I want to give myself to you, Lord. That's true salvation. Most people don't get saved giving their self to God. Most people get saved believing God can fix them. Lord, I've done all I could do. Could you help? What you don't realize is the real you doesn't need to be fixed. It's the false you that Satan has made you believe is truth, that you hate, that you don't like, that brings in low self-esteem. Why? Because if you have low self-esteem, even if you find Christ, you don't think you have anything to give him. That's why God has to build up yourself and get rid of these lies so that you have something to lay down before the Lord. Now, so one thing Satan's going to go after is self. I don't want these people who are made in God's image, who are made higher than angels, who take my place in worshiping God, who take my place in glorifying God. I don't want this creation of his to know who they are in him. I don't want them to understand their purpose to glorify God. I don't want them to know how much he loves them. I don't want them to see who they really are. They're going to destroy me if they see who they are. They're certainly not going to let me come and live in their house. They're certainly not going to say, come in, lot open, for sale, you know, building, no building permit required. They're going to say, you ugly, stinking, fallen thing, get your ugly self away from me. Go to those dry places, wander around, but don't come near here. So first thing he has to do, before you're even born, some of you just with stuff in society, some of you with family curses. We can't get in all this. There's so much teaching on this. You just need to get some of the tapes and you'll listen to them a million times and get it over and over and over because there is so much. Well, how can they say there's a famine in the land? We've been here all day and we can't even hardly touch it. But you begin to get it, right? You're seeing, whoa, I'm really awesome because I'm made in the likeness of God. So it's a false self that has low self-esteem. So guess what? None of you have low self-esteem. Isn't that good, Edie? You don't have low self-esteem. You don't. You just think you do. So we just need to change your thinking. That's a lot easier than changing yourself. I want you to get a hold of this light bulb a minute. This is real, okay? There's nothing wrong with you. Everyone say, there's nothing wrong with me. Because God made me. So whatever things I think are wrong, Satan made me think they're my reality. But they're lies. Your fears are founded on lies. Every fear you have is founded on a lie. Every fear. Every fear that you won't fit in. Every fear that you'll be rejected by God. Every fear that you'll be abandoned. Every fear that you're no good. Every fear that you'll never add up to anything. All of it is a fairy tale that Satan has created for your life, and you have bought into it. Now God's got to bring all that down and turn it around. You're not a pervert. You're not a pervert. You're not a homosexual. You're not a sex maniac. You're not a murderer. You're not a thief. You're not a whatever else you guys all are not. Let me tell you something. It's easier to change your thinking. Your stinking thinking. And agree with God and who He says you are. Than it is to actually think you can change if you're all those things. It says put those things away. In other words, don't believe those things anymore. Get the spirits out that have tried to make you into those things. All right, so as we're building this house, before we get ready to build our thing, a lot of people, so there's two things here. So Satan wants to give you low self-esteem. Because if he gives you low self-esteem, you'll never really think you have enough value for God to love you. How does he give you low self-esteem? The Holy Spirit convicts. What does the enemy do?
Condemn.
One way you know that there's a house in you that hasn't come down yet is if you live under condemnation. Okay? Condemnation. What does the Bible say? There is no in Christ. Oh, I like this. If Christ has a house in me, and there's no condemnation in there, and there is condemnation in me, it's got to be in another house. Because he doesn't lie. There's no condemnation in Christ. I'm in Christ. If you're born again, you're in Christ. There's no condemnation in you in the house that God's building. So that trespassing devil has got part of his false Holy Spirit. His false Holy Spirit is a spirit of condemnation. The Holy Ghost has a spirit of conviction. The difference, conviction shows you what the enemy has done or what your flesh has done and how Christ paid to set you free from that. It's a good thing. Conviction says, I'm not stuck with the junk that the enemy's done in my life. Conviction says, I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. You can be a new creation. He's not playing. We got to get a hold of this. All right, so condemnation is a sure way to know if there's still a house of the enemy in you. If you do something wrong and you feel so bad, you feel so condemned, you can't hardly even talk about it, you just feel like such a failure, guess who has a house in you? Now, if you do something wrong and you feel like, oh, man, I can't believe I missed that. Oh, gosh, God, get that out of me. I guess wish it wasn't there. But there's that hope of knowing he's going to change this. He changed all the other stuff I didn't like. That's conviction. Conviction is much more of a, oh, man, God. Oh, man, I can't believe that was still there. I can't believe I thought like that. But there's such hope that he's going to change you. And there's such knowing that he can fix whatever you messed up with it. Condemnation makes you think you're so important. Oh, I'm going to mess up if I marry Karen. I might mess up her whole life. You aren't able or big enough to mess up her life. Don't try, but you're not able or big enough to mess up her life. Do you see what I'm saying? Everything kind of underlying it with Satan has some pride to it. You're not big enough to mess up somebody complete in Christ. You're not big enough to mess up your kids. God can fix everything. See, all your condemnation is almost saying, I'm too important in this thing. I'm more important than God is in this thing. Ooh. All right. What's the other weapon, if you want to call it, that could build a house in you? Pride. Now, pride, you heard us say it? That's okay, as long as you know the answer. Pride, okay, pride. Pride is harder to see. You know real quick if you have low self-esteem. You know real quick if you feel guilty for everything that ever happens to anybody and to what degree. You already know if you don't feel at all worthy of God loving you. The truth is, we're not worthy. The awesome thing is, he says we are, so we are. That's love. Wow, Lord, when we were still in our sins, you loved us. You're beyond our thinking. But if you think you can't be loved by God, that's condemnation. It's a lie. Now, pride is different. Because pride, you think you're all there is. Maybe not to that degree. You don't even understand how much you've got it. Pride is haughty. It's a house built on I'm better than someone else. There's vanity in a prideful house. There's intellect. Oh, intellect is big. Let me just eat of the good fruit. Let me figure out what is right. Let me figure out what man-made doctrines to hold on to. Let me figure out how to feel superior to someone else. Let me build myself with the gifts and the talents that God has given me. Let me use. It's like Satan going, go on. Use it for your glory. Don't, oh, look. Look how much smarter you are than everybody else. Oh, look how you can discern that and tear that apart. Look, oh, look at you. Oh, look at you. Oh, look at you. That was Satan's downfall, not low self-esteem. He brings in low self-esteem because he doesn't want you to know who you are in Christ. He brings in pride because he wants you to think that you're all right, just like you are. You know, things like, well, I just don't believe that God could send anyone to hell. That's pride. Bible says it. Who are you not to believe it? Pride's harder. There's a really good book called Surrender by Arthur Burt. Or Burt? Is it Burt? B-U-R-T. And I don't know where you can get it for sure, but you could probably get it on the internet thing. Powerful book. It's one of those books you can read and read and read and read. He's very humble. Pride says, well, I don't know if I want to listen to this woman because she can't even pronounce whatever that word is. Pride says, I can't listen to anyone who's not at the same intellectual gifting that I'm at.